Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the Scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So today we celebrate the feast that some may wonder what exactly it is about. Like, why celebrate a church building in the city of Rome? Why is that a big deal to be reminded all throughout Christendom, right? Well, the short answer is the Lateran Basilica, because today is the feast of the Lateran Basilica, was the first public building, the first temple where Christians found themselves free to worship in the Roman Empire. So not only is it the first church, but it also represents our freedom to practice the faith. As you know, Christians were persecuted, as they still are today, but persecuted in the Roman Empire, and this was the first church they had to themselves that they could start practicing their faith. This is the day we celebrate that the Catholic Church can worship publicly and freely. And if you go to Rome and you look at the inscription on the Lateran Church, it says, "Holy Church of Lateran, mother and head of all the churches of the city and of the world," right? So it's also in some way the beginning of all parish churches. It was the first parish of the world, right? So for St. Paul's, we can trace our roots back to that parish church in Rome. Lateran, because the Lateran family gave their property to the church when they converted and after they died. And that's where the first church was built, the first pope, or the pope resided there, etc. But there is a longer answer, and I think something that's more applicable to all of us. What's the spiritual meaning to today's celebration? If we go back to the Old Testament, one thing that the Jewish people longed for, and we should all long for, what's something they fought for and rebuilt when it was destroyed, was the Holy Temple of Jerusalem, right? The temple was where they encountered God, where they could finally rest after wandering in the desert, and where David wanted to build something for God, and God said, "No, I'm going to build you something, right? I'll take care of building my own place of worship." And eventually Solomon did build the temple, right? It's the place the Ten Commandments resided, in the Holy of Holies, place where everyone went up to worship regularly all the way up to Jesus' time. It's the place where the Jews had their identity, their place, their home, right? And because of how important the temple was, Jesus wants to purify it, right? For some of the excesses and corruption that sinful and greedy men had brought into the temple. And here is, I think, the first idea that can be applicable to us. I was found myself on a plane this past week and had the same conversation I have pretty regularly. Talk to somebody next to me as they are getting into that. You got to talk to them early before they get their earplugs in. Then they're out for the rest of the flight. And also, just so they know, I'm a nice guy. If they need anything, they can ask. So I try to build public relations. And she, as always, you know, "Oh, you're a priest, Catholic?" "Yes, Catholic priest." "Oh, yeah, well, I'm..." And inevitably, they're not practicing, statistically. That's the crowd. But they say, "I am spiritual, Father, just not religious," right? We've heard that, spiritual, not religious. And if you are able to dig a little deeper, depending on how the conversation goes and how interested they are in talking and how much interested I am in talking, you usually find out something happened along the way, right? that some conflict, some challenge, or just life takes over and they get away from the practice. And to justify that, usually there's a few common reasons, and one of them is, well, I don't need to go to the church to be good, because I know plenty of bad people that go to church, right? And I thought to myself, what would have happened if Jesus had that attitude? Like, the temple has some impurities there. I'm not going. Jesus' response was, oh, really? Then let's go in there and purify it. Like, this is too important. This is where God resides. This is where his presence is. We got to get there and redeem it. And I think one of the things that's important for us as Christians, whenever you see and experience, as inevitably you will, dealing with imperfect people in the same space, right? When they put up some walls and people congregate, there's going to be issues, right? Just go to your own homes, right? It's just the nature of the beast as we have contact, etc. Conflict, challenges, you know, our sin is relational. What we should respond to those things is, wow, here's an opportunity for me, like Jesus, to go in and help purify it. I'm not saying you have to start turning over tables and making whips out of cords in your homes, but hey, here's something that needs attention. Love and conversation and conflict management. We need to come towards it, not run away from it or abandon it, right? Jesus reveals not just that he goes to purify it, he also reveals another revolutionary idea. When he's challenged about his actions, like, who are you to be doing this? He hints at something greater, himself. Jesus refers to his body as the temple and speaks about his resurrection. That just as he's going to be destroyed and raised up and rebuilt, so he also has the authority to come in and knock some things down in order to raise up what really God wants. He wants to remove and renew with his presence a new church, the Catholic Church. And St. Paul and St. Peter both picked this up in their letters. They wrote, and we read it today, do you not know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells within you? So just like Jesus claimed that he was also, his body was a temple, and we're baptized into Jesus, so you're also temples. The Spirit of God dwells in you. And then Peter wrote it as well in his first letter. As you come to him, living stones, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And here's the second thing it's touching on that sometimes comes up in those conversations. I'm spiritual, not religious. It's saying, you know, I believe in my heart, and I pray, but the institutional, the structure, the tradition, no. Organized religion, no. But Peter would say, wait a second, if you believe, part of believing, you're a living stone. You have priesthood. You need to practice that in community with others, right? What happens if, as a living stone, little kids and young people, you imagine the wall of your house, the wall of your bedroom. Imagine you're laying down in bed and you look over at the wall of your bedroom and all of a sudden there's a hole there and you can see the bushes outside. I'm like, wait a second, that's not supposed to be like that. Breeze is coming in, you're starting to get cold. You're like, wait a second, there's a hole in my wall. There's a missing brick. Well, imagine if then the next night there's another two or three that are missing. You're like, whoa. This is getting serious. It's like, this is not a house anymore. There's like holes all over. Mom, Dad, we got to fix this, right? It's not safe. It's not warm. You know, you can see outside. It's actually no longer a house. If each of us baptized Christians are living stones and we're not present in the church personally, offering living sacrifice, coming to worship, unite ourselves to Jesus and sacrifice with him to the Father, expressing our love together as an extension of his body, it's going to be, and this isn't the right, a holy church full of holes, lots of missing souls. Like the place that I hold to keep the building together, to keep it strong and safe and warm for everybody else is missing. Like it's not complete. That's the invitation. It's not indifferent if we're not there. It's not just like, hey, I'll just do what's good for me. Yeah, for sure. But it's also, what's good for me is actually being good for others. Not in an instrumental sense to be used, but my contribution to others ennobles me. When I live those relationships well, when I show up well, etc. So it's a shout out to all those who are here praying and worshiping. But it's also a reinforcement. Hey, that's why it's important that I show up. It's why I help my children learn the importance of presence. You know, if you're on a team and you don't show up to practice, right? If you're on a family and you don't show up, yeah, I love my family. Do you go home? No. You show up at Christmas? Nah. I don't like showing up at Christmas. I much prefer to just, you know, open my own gifts all by myself in my room, right? But no, you might love your family in your heart. God bless you. They're probably going to have difficulty understanding how much you love them if you never show up. And every time they text you, hey, you want to come over? You're like, no, I'm good. Thanks. I'm a great family member, but I don't join the family. It's just not for me. And we don't do that as a desire. We got to have everybody here because we need numbers and we need... No. We know it's good for the people we love. And we want them here for that. Living stones need to be present in the living church, connected with the living Jesus through his living body and blood. We believe that all of us, by faith and baptism, are in Christ. We are his mystical body. By our baptism, we're united to Christ, and we also are being built up, chosen by God for a beautiful calling. And when we're present, we're reinforced, we're stronger. Those we're connected to are stronger, and the whole church is stronger and is a more visible representative of the body of Christ in the world. It does mean we have a high and noble calling. We are part of the temple of God, and the temple of God is more when we're present. And the temple of God is less when we're present. In and of itself, is this less? Is Jesus less? No, in and of itself, he's still Jesus. He's all. But he's incomplete without your presence there. All of these spiritual layers are part of the meaning that surrounds the great feast of the dedication of the Lateran Basilica, the first place we are free to worship. So the invitation, brothers and sisters, is to freely come, to freely love by being present, to show up and to contribute as a living stone to this living building and to bring your particular gifts and calling and grace into the family of God and express that unity through presence. Amen.